Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
We're going to look at verses 22 through 26, Lord willing, tonight in Mark chapter 8. Let's go ahead and read our text, and then we'll get right into the verses. And here the Bible says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands up again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town." Father, we thank you for the reading of your scripture tonight. We need your help to be able to expound on this text. Lord, that we get from this what you have us to get. Lord, illuminate it for us. Lord, will you receive the glory for anything that takes place in this message? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue on here, we see another one of the great miracles of Jesus that's mentioned in the Bible. Now, the Gospel of Mark is the only Gospel that tells us about this particular blind man being healed. The other Gospels tell us about other blind men that were healed, but not this one. Mark, this is unique to Mark. There are some people that have the belief that the Gospel of Mark was written off of the Gospel of Matthew. That he took Matthew's Gospel and kind of formed his own with it. I don't believe that. I've never believed that. That cannot be proven. And this is one of the cases right here we see that Mark's Gospel gives us information the other Gospels don't have. So Mark was inspired by God to write down. He's the human pen inspired by God. All this is God-breathed. And so everything that we read in the Gospel of Mark is his Gospel. It's not somebody else's Gospel. It's the Gospel God gave him through inspiration. But again, it's the only place we read this miracle, so we don't have the other Gospels to form other ideas or opinions or get further information. So we glean what we have here and ask the Lord to illuminate the Scripture for us and show us what we need to know here. There in the first verse we read, verse 22, we see that Jesus comes back to Bethsaida. Now, he's not been there for a while. This is where he first meets his very first disciples. Remember, that's where James and John were fishing there off the coast in Bethsaida. It's also where Peter is from, and his brother, Andrew, and Philip. The Bible tells us that Philip, Andrew, and Peter were all natives of Bethsaida. This is where Jesus began calling those disciples, you know, follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men, he told them. So Bethsaida has a lot of history with Jesus and his disciples. He had spent quite a bit of time there. They had been witnesses to the miracles. They'd been witnesses to the teaching and preaching. So there was no doubt that they were exposed to the truth of the gospel. Well, you may recall that they are one of the cities that Jesus pronounced a woe upon. He warned them of the judgment that was coming because of their lack of repentance. He says in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 11 and 20, Jesus, it says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." And verse 21, Jesus says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." So Jesus specifically points out this particular place, this Bethsaida. They had been given ample opportunities to repent and believe in the gospel and believe in Jesus being their Savior, but yet they did not. They remained in their darkness and their stubbornness and their rejection. And so he pronounces that woe on them. Well, by the time we're reading this in the Gospel of Mark, he'd spent so much time there that they were now going to be left in the dark. That they have lost their opportunity. We'll talk about it more as we get toward the end of the message of how that happened and why it happened. But there it says in verse 22, "And they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him." So just as in every place Jesus went, when people knew that he was there, they started bringing their friends, their relatives, their whoever they knew that needed to be healed, they would bring them to Jesus. This is another one of those cases. It says they bring a blind man unto him. So he did not seek Jesus out himself personally. Now, there are other blind men in the Bible, which we will talk about also in just a few minutes, that went and sought Jesus out themselves. Other people didn't bring them to him. This man has to be brought to Jesus. He didn't go on his own accord or under his own power, or even, as we can tell, because he had any faith in Jesus. So they bring him. And there's not a lot of information about this particular man. We don't know his age. We don't know really anything about his family. All we can tell is, by reading further down, that he has been able to see at one time, because when he gets his sight, he says that he sees men walking about like trees, look like trees walking about. So he recognizes what a tree looks like and what a man would look like. If he'd been blind since birth, he would have not known either one of those. So he's become blind somehow. Don't know what age it was or anything like that. Blindness was very common and still is very common over in that area. And there's a few reasons. In that day, one of the biggest reasons was because of all the diseases that they had. They didn't have the medical cures that we have today. They couldn't go down to the pharmacy and get a prescription. They couldn't go and get something off the shelf and to cure what they had wrong with them. And when it came to the eyes were very different. Now, we know in one place in the book of Revelation tells us about where they made this eye salve. And so they had invented some kind of ointment that you put on your eyes. But in most cases, they didn't have anything when it came to your eyes. You were going to be blind, and there was nothing you could do about it. And there was also the chance of having an injury to your eye. With the kind of work they did and things, they were prone to be injured with their eyes. There's nothing they could do about that to fix that. But one of the unique problems that they have over in that region is all the sand and the lack of rain. For long periods of time, months go by with no rain, and the sand, it gets so dry, and when the wind comes, you're constantly being blowed with sand, and so it's always getting in your eyes. So they're all the time going around like this right here, wiping around in their eyes. And when they do that, they're tearing their corneas, and it causes an infection. And so they get a lot of eye infections, and there's nothing they can, have to cure that, and eventually become blind. And that still happens over in the Mediterranean areas. In Saudi Arabia, they have one of the world's largest populations of blind people still to this day because of those conditions that they have over there. They also have, for some reason, a very large percentage of young people that have a cataract. I had cataracts at a young age. The doctor told me it was from a injury that I had when I was young. My cousin hit a baseball and it bounced up and hit me in the eye and nearly knocked my eye out, knocked me out. And we had to cut it open to drain all the blood. It swelled way up. But he said that an early onset injury like that probably caused me to get a cataract. But over in that area, they say they are 1.5% of the population of Saudi Arabia is blind, and 7.8% of them are visually impaired. The number of blind people that are 60 years of age or older is 20% of those people. And it says one of the leading causes is due to cataracts. 42% of those older than 40 years old developed cataracts, and over 3.5% of the population had corneal scars. So, just the place that this blind man or this blind man is living is one of the conditions they had. That's why we see so many instances of Jesus healing the blind. Although that was one of the things the Messiah would do, one of the signs, there were so many of them. And so he spent a lot of time doing that. We have no idea how many blinded eyes he opened. But there it says they brought him to Jesus and besought him to touch him. There are obviously a few people in Bethsaida that did have some kind of faith in Jesus. Enough faith to realize that if they bring their friend there, that Jesus could heal him. And so they bring him. Verse 23, "And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught." Now, this is a very interesting passage here, a very interesting way that Jesus did this. It's very different than anything else that's in the Bible. And notice the first thing he does. He takes the man by the hand and leads him out of that town. He don't want to do the healing in the town. There's a purpose for it. So he takes him out of the town where nobody else is around. And I fully believe the reason he does this is because, like I said at the beginning, Bethsaida has already lost her opportunities. And so this is a kind of a pulling him out of the world, a type of pulling him out of the world, if you will. And so it's the Lord showing them that they are unworthy of the gospel, of witnessing this great miracle. They're unworthy of it. Now, remember when we studied back in chapter 6, when the Lord sent his disciples out to witness the people, listen to what he told them. In Mark 6 and 10, it says, "And he said unto them, In what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." And so there Jesus, again, he's demonstrating the fact that the truth had been brought to those people. He tells the disciples, if you take the truth to somebody and they reject the truth, he says, shake the dust off your feet. You've done what you're supposed to do. They had their opportunity. It's up to them. And so that was a sign. That was whenever a Jew would go into a Gentile land, when they would cross, before they cross over, they shake the dust of that land off their foot. You know, like that. They don't want to bring the dust off that pagan land, that Gentile land, into the Jewish territory. And so Jesus tells his disciples, "Don't you know, shake the dust off your feet under those. It's a testimony." He said it's a testimony against them. So they brought it on themselves. Now, I'm not one that preaches that you can get saved anytime you want to. The Bible, I believe, is pretty clear that the Father must draw us to be saved. I mean, that's the Bible. John 6 and 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." John 6 and 44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." Jesus says in John 12 and 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." So the Bible teaches that a person that's lost must be drawn by God. So before you go around saying, well, you know, people get saved any old time they want to, don't be so sure about that. I mean, here we have a whole city that Jesus is shunning because of their rejection. Here we have, I read three different verses there that plainly tells us that people must be drawn to him. Matthew 19 and 25 through 26 says this, "When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said to them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And so we know what the disciples were referring to, about a rich man, because a rich man had come and, you know, Jesus told him it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven. They said, well, then who can be saved? And he says, well, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So don't go around saying, well, I can be saved anytime I want. There's people today that claim, you know, well, they're going to wait till right before they die, then they're going to believe in Jesus then and be saved and everything will be all right. It doesn't work that way, friends. And so God is the initiator of our salvation. He is the one that saves us.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Bavelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.